show his excellence. All I require for life God has given me is I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am. Walking in power, working miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I'm working miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh.
Jesus, your name is more than a name. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies, everyone overcome. Come on, y'all, sing it with me. We will overcome.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies, everyone overcome.
Sing that again.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our
Yeah.
church, what an amazing prayer we can have in our worship this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, if that's you, if you want heaven on earth, can I see your hands from the back to the front? Let's sell out for the next couple minutes. Let's not worry about the people next to us. Let's not worry about the situation at home. Let's focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Come on, let's turn our focus to Him. We're going to get into this. Come on, one more time. And I'm telling you, if you've never taken a step of faith, maybe you need to take a step out of your chair. Maybe you need to go into the altar, into the aisle. Maybe you just need to stand up. Maybe you've never done that. But whatever it is, sell out this morning. Give them everything that you have. From the back to the front. Come on, let me hear your voices. Give them your heart this morning. Give them everything. That your heart's cry this morning. We're going to go through a couple more times. So excited about this morning. You know, the word clearly says that He inhabits the praises of His people. And we know that where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's victory. So I don't want to end worship on a somber note this morning. I want you to go ahead and end with some praise in just a second. Whether you're watching on live stream or you're here in the room, we're going to let out a mighty praise. Can I tell you, praise, it brought down walls, it brought healing. Praise absolutely can tear some things down. So from the back to the front for the next 30 seconds, can I hear you lift up a mighty praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If people are willing to sell out at a concert and get wild and crazy and stupid, I don't know why God doesn't deserve a greater praise. If people will show up to a Super Bowl, which doesn't really matter, and go all out, even at home watching on TV, but we won't do it to a greater level. I don't know where our priorities are, man. And that's not a rebuke. That I'm excited because that was some praise that I haven't seen in a little bit. Hallelujah. Well, congratulations. You made it out of bed this morning. We'd like to welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church. Clearly, we're a tad bit different from most churches. But I can tell you, we love the Lord. We love people. If you're on live stream, thank you for joining. You go ahead and clap your hands for our live stream family real quick. We got about 100 people watching every week. We're going to go into a time of we're going to go back to our seats. I know worship is over. We're all mad. But look, with the joy of the Lord that you got, with all the excitement you got, with the love you got in your heart, don't sit down in your seat immediately. Can you go find a couple people near you? Can you go shake a couple hands and say, welcome to the family? Can you go meet a new person you might not know? Don't sit down. Come on. Go meet somebody you don't know. Go be friendly. This is a church of family, of friendly, of love. Young guys in the back, you too.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How's everyone doing this morning? Y'all are a friendly, friendly church. Take about another 30 seconds, say hi to somebody, wave to them, smile at them, say good morning. You look good today, you smell good today. Take about another 30 seconds. Amen, amen. Who is excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Okay. That might be okay for your favorite sports team or because your mama made your favorite meal, but I need you to give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a shout of praise in here. Who is excited to be here today? Amen. I love church. I love being with y'all. I love serving y'all. It is a pleasure and it is an honor to be here. We want to just welcome everyone that's here today. Thank you so much. If you are a guest in the house today, we want to welcome you. Give it up for our guests in the house. Come on, give it up for them. If you're a guest, could I just see your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. We just have a little gift for you. So if you're a guest, please raise your hand. We have one right here. Amen. We have one in the back. The cameraman's been here for 10 years. He wants a gift too. We have one over here. Come on, give it up for our guests. Come on, put your hands together for our guests. Amen. Amen. There's one up in the second row. We are incredibly excited you are here with us. Thank you so much for visiting. We encourage you to come back at least 3 weeks so you can get a real idea of who we are. Amen. And after service, we would love to just meet with you, get to know you a little bit more so you can get to know us a little bit more as well. So after service, on this side of the building, you can come over. We have a little guest reception for you. Amen. Pastor Cody already welcomed the online campus. Let's welcome them one more time. Thank you so much for tuning in every single week. We love you and we bless you. As you guys may see, our senior pastors are not here today. They're being filled up and encouraged in Florida to come back and to just give us their impartation. So Pastor Spencer, Pastor Rhonda, we love you. We appreciate you. We honor you. Let's give it up for our senior pastors. Amen. 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 We have a few announcements. Who knows that this is a busy, busy house? Come on. Who's a busy, busy? Come on. Amen. We have a few events that are coming up. Let me share them with you. So bring out your phones right now. Get to your calendars. You need to block off these dates, okay? Friday, July 22nd at 7 p.m., we're going to have a night of worship. We are going to have a night of worship. You got to get more excited about that. We're going to encounter God through praise and worship. You don't know what's going to happen. As Pastor Cody said, when praise invades, the enemy gets confused, walls break down. Your life can completely change with some praise and worship from your lips. Amen? So Friday, July 22nd at 7 p.m., night of worship here in the main sanctuary. The following day, July 23rd at 12 p.m., we're going to have soul winning. Amen? Who knows that it is wise to win souls? July 23rd, you can meet in here in the main sanctuary, Pastor Chad. We're going to meet right here in the main sanctuary, July 23rd at 12 p.m. Come here. You're going to get a little bit of training. Then we're going to go out to the streets, and we're going to take back what the enemy has tried to steal. Amen? We're going to take back every soul. Amen? Then we got some more stuff. August? No, it's not August. My fault. July 28th, 29th, and 30th. This place is going to be turned upside down with the Uproar Conference. I need y'all to make some noise for the Uproar Conference. I don't think that y'all understand what's going to happen. Every single young person in this place is going to get fired up, charged up, and they're going to be imparted with the power of God to go back into their communities, their schools, and their families and turn that place upside down. Amen? So if you want to volunteer, if you want to sow, this is a phenomenal opportunity for you to really sow into our young people. If you have any questions, please find Pastor Cody, Mindy Spencer, or Mackenzie Coe. Amen? Now this is my favorite part of the sermon. I love the offering. I love the opportunity to give. Amen? So we have a financial testimony. So let's come out. While they come out, ushers, if you could please pass out the envelopes as people can prepare them, as we have this financial testimony. Amen?
Okay, now, Pastor Obi asked me to keep it to 3 minutes, and I'll try really hard, but I can't promise. Quite a few months ago, I started looking for another job. As some of you know, I worked at Tractor Supply and Management. It was very physical. I worked shift work. My husband and I are newlyweds, and so we didn't get to spend a lot of time together. I argued with God about a price that I needed. I negotiated, and he told me, if you're offered this job, which I had applied for, at this price, you need to take it. And I said, but God, it's $3 an hour less than what I'm making now. So I told Bruce, I told Bruce after we had prayed, because we had been praying about it, if they offer me this amount of money, I'm going to take it. When the offer came in the mail, it was exactly what we had discussed. So God already knew. And even though I'm making less, God is providing more, because we have continued to tithe, we're seeding, and everything is being taken care of. Their policy, I'm now working for Elmira Savings Bank, so I work Monday through Friday. I'm home in the evenings with my newlywed husband, and their policy is you have to work for them for 90 days before you get paid vacation or holiday paid off, personal time. So my actually 90 days was not up until June 28th, which would have made 4th of July my first paid holiday off. But they actually paid me for Memorial Day, which was in May. I took a day off in over Father's Day to go see Bryce in Baltimore, and they paid me for that as well. So God is awesome if you follow through with what he asks. And one more thing. We have three vehicles. One is a company car, which is taken care of by his company. The other two are our vehicles. They're both broke down at the same time. So Bruce took one in to the shop. They said it was going to be $600. Our vacation, we're finally going on a honeymoon in September. So we've been saving. That was our vacation money, part of it. And I said, I listened to a voice in my gut and suggested to Bruce, we don't go to that mechanic. Because of the job that I'm at now, I've met a lot of people. God has steered us in the right direction, and the mechanic he steered us to was exactly half of what they were going to charge us for. So be faithful, listen to God. That gut that you hear is God talking to you. So you may not like your answer, but he always has your best interest at heart. Your first 10% goes to him. You got 90% to play with. So if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have any. And that's just, he makes it for us. And I love him. So thank you.
Come on now, let's celebrate with the Girardis. Amen. Amen. I have the privilege and the opportunity to receive today's offering. I want to talk to you guys a little bit from Genesis chapter 26 on the seed that opens doors. Amen. So let me just give you a little breakdown of what's going on in Genesis chapter 26. My man Isaac, say Isaac. Good, y'all are awake. He has wells that have been passed down to him from his father, Abraham. Amen. But then some opposition comes and begins to fill in those wells. So he thinks, I should just go and dig another well. That's the wise thing to do. Amen. So he goes and he digs a well. Then the Bible says that the opposing forces came and they said, well, this is my well. So now he has another option. I can either dig another well or I can give up. Well, maybe the first one didn't work out. Let's try the second one. He goes and he digs another well. Say another well. Good, good. Now the opposition comes and says, well, this is my well too. Huh. We have one man that's dug two wells that's been both been taken away by the enemy. Who's ever felt like that? You put your hand to the plow, you put in some work, and the enemy has tried to take it away. And this is where we find ourselves. Isaac is faced with the same decision you and I are faced with almost every single week. Your well today is going to be your seed. Amen? I have two options, just like Isaac did. I can either give up and say, I will no longer dig another well to be taken by the enemy. I'm giving up. I'm going to save because I know the enemy is going to come and try to take it away from me. That's option number one. Or I can say, I know my God, and he never fails. I know that if he makes a promise, He will never turn away from it. I know my God is not a man that he will lie. I know that in the mighty name of Jesus, that when I sow a seed, when I dig a well, he is faithful to do as he said that he will do. Amen. I know that according to the word, he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I know according to the word, he will withhold no good thing from me. I know according to the word, when I dig another well, when I keep digging, when I do not give up, a door shall be opened that no man can shut. So Isaac says, you know what? I'm going to stick to the promises of my God. So the Bible says that he moves and he digs a third well. And nobody came after that well. And he named that well Rehoboth, which means to make room. I believe that today, as you give your tithe, your offering, and your seed is going to be the key to the door that no man can shut. And as you plant that seed today in good ground, who knows this house is good ground? Amen. As you plant that seed in good ground today, the doors of heaven shall be open to you. And just like Isaac declared that well, it shall make room for you to receive a blessing that you cannot contain. Who is ready for some rooms to be made in your life? Who's ready for some doors to be opened up in your life? If you're ready, stand up to your feet, church. Put your offering in the air. Put your tithe in the air. Put your seed in the air. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, I know your word. I put a command. See, you got to be bold, okay? I put a command on this seed to open up a door and to make room. And I know that if I obey, then I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now shout I'm blessed. Shout I'm blessed. Shout I'm blessed. If you're ready, feel free to come down and bring your offering to the Lord. If you're watching on live stream, we invite you to give with us as well. Click on the giving button and follow the prompt. We love you and we bless you.
I know who I am.
It's important to not have your microphone muted. I'm learning this as I get older. Yelling doesn't always work. Well, good morning, His Tabernacle. I'm excited that you're here. Live stream, if you're watching. Dad, if you're watching. I think we switched up our live, our thin line Bibles, because this one's definitely yours. Whoops. I don't think I'll give it back, though. Except maybe I want my notes back. I don't know. Let's pray real quick. Everyone bow your heads real quick. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open to your word. That, Lord, it won't just be something that can fall on our ears and we can walk away from. But I pray that through this word, our lives will be shifted and transformed and we'll be made whole as you desire. If you agree with it, can I hear a mighty amen from the back? I think you guys are louder than the teenagers. I'm proud of you. I've been yelling at them lately, telling them that we can't sound like a bunch of old ladies in church, but we got to be loud from the back of the... And not our church. Some other churches I know of. Not you guys. Some other churches that I've heard of. Has anyone ever tried telling somebody something and it completely got misconstrued? Or they just didn't seem to understand what you were trying to get across? I feel like, who's encountered that with their husband or their wife? What about a boyfriend or girlfriend if you're not married yet? And you, like, you've explained it the most clear you possibly could have ever explained it. You've given every detail, as in, like, take 5 6-inch steps, and then take 1 3-inch step to the left, and then 1 foot up and to the right, about 4 inches, will be a black item, and that's what I need you to grab. I don't understand what you're telling me. What are you... Not my wife, obviously, but just an example. I got to move on to the word. But I feel like it's really easy for us to communicate things, and it doesn't always get received how it was sent out. And I believe that that's really easy to do with the word as well. This morning, I want to come to you out of John chapter 4, the woman at the well. So I believe this unpacks something really powerful that as a church we can benefit from. Because we know about God, but there needs to be a transition of just knowing and doing. We need to really understand, because when you understand is when you actually apply. So John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 6, and I'm going to read this. I'm going to read in some chunks, and then I'll break down what I feel like God's saying out of that. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And they just got done baptizing people. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised to have, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." See, I feel like we know God has things to offer us. We know that through this covenant, through this promise, through his son that died, through his sacrifice on the cross, we know that there's things that are offered, but we fail to realize exactly what it is. See, Jesus is saying, "I just want a drink. I'm parched. I'm thirsty. I need something from you." And she's, "Well, why are you talking to me?" He said, Can you just listen? I just need a drink. I just want some water. And in fact, if you knew who I was, I have living water. I just want some regular water, but I have some living water. But I feel like why we create this difference, why we create this separation, is because we too often look at our differences instead of how Jesus has offered it to us. We look at it and say, "Well, I'm just fill in the blank. Well, my sin, it's just too much." Or my issues, you know, "God, they're really big, and I know what you're saying, but I see this difference." See, we're a lot like the Samaritan woman, where we come and we hear what God is saying, and we hear the word every Sunday, but we sit and we look at it through our personal lens of our differences. Well, God, I have this issue. Well, God, I have this problem. And God, I have this insurmountable thing in my life. Or God, you don't know the issues I'm going through. I couldn't really accept that. I heard somebody say this week, we know that we're forgiven, but how often do we actually act in that forgiveness? We'll walk around and say, well, I had this issue, and we'll walk around with our head down. And we do the same thing the Samaritan woman does. We look at the differences instead of looking at the offer. We look at all the wrong instead of looking at the right Jesus is trying to give us. It's right in front of us. Can I tell you that while Jesus was asking for a drink, that we actually need a drink of what he's got? I'm going to get to my point in a second. I'm excited. She said, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. She said, in this well, it's really deep. Where would you get this living water? I can just see her being like slick responding. Where would you even get this water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who would give us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Now, I just want you to take a step back and really look at everything that's happening. Jesus, like the Son of God, Jesus, is at a well saying, I just get me a drink, please. He said, well, you're a Jew, and we're not supposed to talk. He said, all right, look, I have living water. I just want a drink, lady. I just want a drink. It's like, yes, sir. I was at a wedding, and I walked up. I was like, hey, can I have a Sprite? Well, we're closed. I just want a drink. I'm going to die. He said, I just want a drink. And she responds and says, well, you don't even have a bucket to get water. The well's deep. Where would you get the water you're talking about? Jacob built it, and you think that your water would be greater than what Jacob had? See, when I read this, I kind of read it through the context of like a 15-year-old teenager. Anybody encountered a 15-year-old teenager before? I see her looking at Jesus and be like, well, you didn't even have a bucket. Look, lady, I just want a drink. You didn't even have a bucket. Are you kidding me? Jesus, King of Kings, firstborn over all of creation, and the response is, I know you want water, but you don't even have a bucket. Like, she's just not getting this. She's not understanding what's actually happening to her. But I believe that this, at times, is a picture of our own lives. Man, Jesus has so many promises for us. Say, well, God, you know my finances are strapped, and you know that I can't tithe because, you know, I'd miss out on my cell phone bill or my cable bill. God, I know that you promised this, but you don't even have a bucket. And God, I know my emotional issues, and I know that I need to find peace in this, but you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand the brevity of it. You don't understand the weight of the situation that I've gone through. God said, I have all of this for you. I paid for it. I bought it. It's done. It's finished. I have it right here for you. I'm standing in front of you. The same situation. Say, well, God, I know I have need of this. But instead of allowing him to do it, we'll throw our bucket into the water and simply look at it and be like, well, you don't even have a bucket to get the water for me, so I'll do it. I'll throw my bucket in. I'll reel it out. I'll get my water. I'll go home. I'll get my drink. And so often, this is the response that we have. You can fill in any blank. Well, I need. Fill it in with what you need from Christ. Fill it in with the lack that you feel that you have. And what so often occurs, instead of us going to Jesus when he's saying, I'm right here. I have a living water for you. I have something for you prepared and ready. And it's in my word. And I promised it for you. And I paid for it. And I did it. And it's done. And we look at him and say, well, I don't understand how you could do it. So I'll do it myself. Well, God, you don't even have a bucket. So let me throw mine in. Well, I don't understand how it could even happen, so I'm going to take care of it. She said, I have the tools, but you don't, God. I have the bucket, you don't. Whenever I get thirsty, I can fulfill it. And by the way, are you greater than the world and what it can offer? And I think this is the greatest thing we see as Christians. The greatest issue we run across as we have a decision to make. Is God our provider or is the world our provider? Because every time we throw that bucket into it and say, well, God, I know my need and I know it's promised, but I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to take care of my issue. I'll take care of the situation. Every time we take care of the situation, instead of resting in the promise of God, we're literally saying, well, I know what you have, but I don't believe you can do it for me, so let me do it. I trust that the world can take care of me. And that's why we'll see people, they'll take a raise for $1 an hour and only be able to come to Sunday service every other week. That's why we'll see a lady selling out for a man and not coming to church anymore, because they have something they want to be fulfilled. And for some reason, we don't think God can get it to us, so we'll take care of it on our own. Because for some reason, we've given the world such a great weight. We've given the world such a great opportunity to speak a falsity into our lives that it can fulfill and satisfy everything we need. I was talking to a young man not too long ago, and I believe he's got a call of God on his life. And we were talking, and I was letting him know, look, the only satisfaction is when you truly fulfill your purpose in Christ. See, you can have success in the world and still be completely unsatisfied. But if you want satisfaction, oh, by the way, just for a bonus, also success, it's only found in Jesus. But for some reason, as Christians, we don't believe that God can satisfy and bring success in our lives. So we create success on our own, thinking it will bring us satisfaction. But every time we get to that place, we got to walk back to the well, throw in our bucket, find something else, reel it back up, go home, pour our drink it, sit there for a little bit satisfied, and realize that it's not really what we thought it was, and have to walk back out, go to the well, throw it down in, toil and labor and do all of these things, all while God is saying, I have living water. But we're still looking, well, God, you don't even have a bucket. How could you get this to me? Well, you don't even have fill in the blank for your own thing. You don't even have it. I read this story and it just, oh my goodness, lady. It's Jesus. Have you seen what he did for other people? Have you seen what he took care of for the 5,000? Have you seen what he did? We look at it. We get, that's Jesus, but we look at it through our own lens. We say, well, God, what about me? I don't know how you could do it in my situation, and I'm happy for Bruce and Eileen, but what about me? And what about my situation? What about me personally? What does it look like for me? We get to this point where we believe our plans are greater than his plans, and that we can trust in the world enough to fulfill us for a little bit, but we fail to realize we got to keep going back. Like, we can look at a drug epidemic in Elmira and realize the church needs to step up and give them what they're really looking for. So you can down them all you want. You can trash them all you want. But once you realize they're searching for something and you have that answer, you have to get out of your seat and go bring it to them. They're searching for something. Anybody living in an amount of sin is looking for satisfaction. They're looking for something, and you have that something. But every time we try to do it on our own, or every time we turn to the world, literally we're this 16-year-old Samaritan woman with a little attitude. Well, God, you don't even have a bucket. Well, God, how could you even do it? Well, you don't. It's a really deep well, God. You don't understand how deep the well is. Like, he didn't create the earth. Well, and are you greater than the people before you? Well, yeah, he's Jesus. He is. Yes. In fact, he is. We put so much trust in the world. I don't understand why, if we can trust him with our eternity, we can't trust him with our emotions. And if we can trust him with our eternity, we can't trust him with our finances. And if we can trust him with our eternity, we can't trust him with our struggles. I don't understand, if we can trust him for an eternity with him, why can't we trust him for a short thing here on earth? But what is it? See, we see this example throughout the Word, through and through. Look at Abraham. Did not God promise him Isaac? I'll give you a son. And it didn't happen in his timing. And it didn't happen in his expectations. And it didn't happen as soon as he wanted. So he went and created his Ishmael, which created a lot of promises, or a lot of mistakes and a lot of heartache. Can I tell you, we're a picture of Abraham every time we take a promise of God and try to make it happen in our own timing, in our own way. We might not see it. We might not see how it's going to be done. But if God has promised it, it's going to occur. Can we stop creating Ishmaels and receive the promise of God? That's what we run into. Jesus replied. And this is right after she's given him attitude. Well, God, you don't have a bucket, and it's really deep, and Jacob made it, and his people and his animals. Like, well, duh, the water is greater than what was made for the animals, but I don't know. Jesus replied, anyone, still to this day, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Jesus said, anybody who takes from this well of the world, anyone who dips their bucket down into this well, anyone who pulls it back up again, I promise you, you'll be thirsty again. You'll have to come back tomorrow. You'll have to come back next week. You'll have to come back next year. You'll have to come back next decade. You'll have to come back because you'll be thirsty again if you take what is being offered by the world. But, man, I love that word in the scripture. I love that simple three-lettered word, but. If you see the word but or if, I'm telling you, get ready because there's a promise coming. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It will become a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. She said, she went from attitudinal to non-attitudinal very quickly. She said, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. I think we need to have the same revelation as this woman, the Samaritan woman, who said, God, can I have that water because I won't have to come back to the well anymore? God, what you're offering, this fresh bubbling spring, this thing that's going to fulfill me and take care of me, God, I want it because I'm sick of coming back to the well. See, we have to get sick of going back to the well in order to really get to the spot to desire what God has for us. Is anybody sick and tired of going back to that well every single day, having to create your own prosperity, having to create your own joy, your own peace, your own happiness, your own fill in the blank? She had a revelation of, you know what? If I don't have to go back to it anymore, I can stay right here and have the joy and the peace and the love and the patience and the happiness and the goodness and the mercy that I already desire. I don't have to have it run out. God's going to keep it going in me. And when we can recognize that you don't have to go back to the wells of the world. You don't have to run back to that place. You don't have to step foot in that bar again. You don't have to go for another guy and a girl and get let down. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to visit those places anymore. You don't have to have your finances in the dump because you're going to the Lord. You don't have to do it anymore. And if you're sick of doing it, you can step up and say, well, God, I don't want to go to the well. So where's the spring? Where's the living water? Because I'm here and I'm willing and I desire. It all begins in desire. It all starts with an earnest desire for the Lord. It starts and ends in your heart. If you want Jesus more than anything, if you want that more than anything, if you're ready for true satisfaction more than anything, that's where it starts. She said, give me this water because I'm sick of what I'm going around. You know what's great? It ties in even with the Old Testament. Isaiah 12, verse 3 says,
Therefore, another but statement. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the springs of salvation. But with joy, you will draw water from the springs of salvation. See, every single thing you need is already found in what Jesus paid for. And can I tell you, to stop buying the lie that it's difficult, that it's hard, that it's something we have to really wrestle and fight for? The fight has already been completed. He's literally saying, with joy, you can receive these things. With joy, you can pull from my well of salvation. Not the well of the world, but the things I've stored up with you for you. With joy, you can pull them out. Fill in the blank for your own life, because everyone has something personal. But what is it in your life where you want to draw that from the joy of salvation? I'm telling you, everything we fall short of in following Jesus is something we already desire from him. So if it's in a man or a woman, it's in love and acceptance. If it's in alcohol, it's probably in peace or identity. We can run through the list of what people deem as sin and find what we're really looking for. But this promise throughout the Word of God, with joy, you will draw from the wells of salvation. With joy, you can have these things. With joy, you can draw it out. See, you will never draw what you need if you draw from the wells of the world. So can I tell you a really simple truth? We serve Jehovah Jireh, my provider. My provider. And if we fail to realize that he's my provider and you have to be your own provider, then you'll keep drawing from the wells of the world. And you can show up in church all day, every day, but if you fail to identify with him like that, then you'll keep going back to those wells and you'll keep getting frustrated because it's not what the word has promised, because you're not fulfilling what he's already spoken, that it's right there for you. We still have, see, Jehovah Jireh, that was Abraham, Genesis 22:14. But New Testament, we still have that same promise in Matthew 6. It said, don't worry about where you sleep. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about the clothes you wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. See, this promise of provision is throughout the word of God, and it's still true today. That we have an option to create our own or to take what God has already welled up for us. And the longer we take and do this on our own, the more frustrated we'll get with God. And I've seen so many people walk away from God because they found their answer in something else, while the whole time God is saying, I'm right here, I'm right here. And we respond with, well, you don't even have a bucket. Well, I don't understand how you could give me peace. Or I don't understand how I could have joy. Or I don't understand how my finances could work out. It's right there the whole time. The promise is right there the entire time. And I love how Jesus finishes this conversation with the woman. He says, go and get your husband. He's gotten her to a point. She says, I want it. I want this living water. I want this promise. I don't want to come back to the well. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the world. I'm sick of these things. And he throws the curveball. He says, well, go get your husband then. She said, well, Jesus, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with, you're not married to. See, some people just felt some conviction. But can I tell you, when you open up to Jesus, he'll identify what you've drawn from the world. Because she was searching to fill a void. And it doesn't have to be 5 husbands and you're sleeping around with one. It can be alcohol. It can be whatever it is. Whatever you've drawn from the world, when you stand and say, God, here it is. He can identify simply, easily, what you've drawn from the world. See, it wasn't really about the water. It was about his desire to fulfill people. See, in the description of Jesus in Matthew 1:21, it says he came to save people. which breaks down to sozo, or wholeness. Your mind, you will, your emotions. We're a trichotomous being, correct? So our spirit, our soul, and our body. He came to make all of those whole. He desires to fulfill you, but will remain unfulfilled as long as you make things happen outside of Jesus. It doesn't matter about the boy, the money, the status. It does not matter how far you can get without Jesus, because you're still just at the starting block. Amen. I think it's powerful. She had been with 5 husbands, which equals the number of grace. And she was sleeping with another man, which equals 6, which is the number of man, things that we've done on our own. And the 7th man she just encountered was God. And the next man she encounters is number 8. And number 8 biblically represents new beginnings. See, can I tell you, when you can come to Jesus and say, I'm sick of the well, he'll say, you know, I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to take care of what you did on your own, and I'm going to show up on the scene, and when I do so, I'm going to give you an ability for a new season, for a new time, for a new thing, because I don't want you going around what the world's got. I have something special for you, stored up. See, can we stop looking at him and saying, well, you don't have what I need, and say, God, I know I've done it on my own. I know I've done things. I know I've tried to fulfill it. I know I've purposed it, but I'm sick of doing it. So here it is. I need your grace. I know that I got an issue, but Lord, please be here. And when you can come to him like that, man, I'm telling you, he's going to say, here is everything. Here's what I was talking about. Here's the living water. And by the way, not just the living water, but here's a new beginning. Here's a freshness. Because didn't he say with freshness, it's going to bubble up inside of you? See, here's a newness, a freshness, something you don't have to go back to every day, because my mercies are new every morning. And you're going to have some joy and the peace and the love and the happiness and everything that you're searching for. It's already found in me. And she said, well, you must be a prophet. A little bit. Something like that. Imagine just rolling his eyes. Something like that. And they get into it, and she says, well, I know a Messiah is coming. He said, I am the Messiah. Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am everything that you need. I am that wholeness that you're searching for. And her response is exactly how the response he desires for us. He said, She goes into town, and I can just see now she's running around saying, he set me free. He set me free. You got to come and see him. What he did for me, he can do for you. He set me free of my dependency on that well. He set me free of that water. He set me free of that sin. He set me free. Come and see him. Come and look at him. Come and see. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. You got to see him. You got to see what he's done. See, when Jesus has done something in your life, we got to get so excited, so passionate about it, that we're pointing everybody to him. But we get to this point where we look just like the world, because we're drawn from the same well as the world. And you can keep drawing from it and keep being thirsty, and you can keep going back to it, and you can blame God all you want, but he's standing here saying, well, I have a living water. Can we stop looking at God and say, well, you know what? You don't have a bucket for my need, while he's sitting here. No, no, look, you don't understand that I have this for you. And my hand is out. It's open. It's waiting for you just to say, here I am. To say, I want it. I desire it. We got to make a decision to stop saying, well, God, I got to make it on my own. I got to do it on my own. And I got to fulfill it on my own. And look, Christian, it might not be something crazy, but what is it that you're hiding in your heart? What is it that you've tucked away in the corner where you're too scared to let them see it? What are those things? So I don't care if it's this massive sin that we did, that for some reason we think it's greater than another sin, or if it's something small. We still look at him the same and say, well, you don't even have a bucket. And we got to do it on our own. See, I don't want to have a church. I don't want to see a church that has to do it on their own when Jesus has already paid for it. Man, if my dinner's paid for, I'm gonna eat that dinner. I'm not going to look at it and say, well, I don't really know if that's dinner for me. Or I don't know how that got in front of me, but I'm not touching it. I've never sat at dinner with someone who said they're paying. I'd be like, well, I can't even read the menu. Even if I can't read the menu, I'm going to ask, oh, well, what do you like? Because I want something that is paid for.
Why do we do that with God? We sit down at the table. Well, I don't know how they're going to cook this meal that's on the menu that's promised they have it. I just don't know how it could ever get out to the table to me. I've never been to dinner like that and sit there and have a mind block and say, well, I don't know how it's going to happen, so I guess I'll just go to McDonald's instead because I'm hungry. But don't we do that? We sit at the table with Christ and he said, well, here it is and here's what I offered you and just order it, just take it. I said, well, man, I don't know how it's going to come out, so I'm hungry. McDonald's is around the corner. I'll grab that. Why? I believe that the only reason we can say why is we fail to identify with who he really is. That he is your provider. He has promised you the ability to draw from those wells. My challenge to you this morning is, can we stop looking at Jesus and say, well, that little attitude, well, you don't even have a bucket. What? Really? The one that formed the earth? Formed you? Can't get you another dollar an hour in the middle of the week so you don't have to give up a Sunday and honor him? He can't? Or maybe he can't erase one of your bills so you can still take the same amount of money? Like, why do we look at it like, oh, well, I got to have another dollar? Why can't we allow him to do what he's promised he's going to do so we can continue to honor him? God's never going to put you in a place where you cannot honor him. If you honor him, he's going to unlock things so you can continue to do so. He's not going to take you out of things. He's going to excel you in them. This morning, I'm going to end a little bit different than I normally do. Normally, I get people out of their seats, and we're going to lay hands on you. But do you know what? I believe that this is a personal thing between you and Christ, and we can have someone play something beautiful. They're really good at that. I love my team. But here's my challenge to you. I think hooting and hollering, I love them all for it. I can't wait for conference because we're going to get wild and crazy, and we're going to have some fun. But today, if that's you, you're saying, you know what? I keep looking at God and I keep saying, well, you don't have a bucket, while ignoring his promise. If that's you in this place, and I'm going to have two calls saying, I've never given my life to Jesus and I've continually had to make my own satisfaction, but it never sustains. And today, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to lay everything else down. I want to spend my eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that loves me so much that he was willing to sacrifice his life. But not only sacrifice, to take the keys of sin and death. And on the third day, come out of that tomb. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, even praying for me. I want a king like that. I want to serve a Lord like that. If that's you in this place, I want you to make a decision to slip your hand in the air. I want to pray with you. I just want you to go ahead and be able to identify yourself real quick. Saying, I want to give my life to the Lord, or I want to return to him because I don't serve him like I should, or I've walked away. If that's you, can I see you slip your hand in the air? Amen. Christians, can you guys stand to your feet for me real quick? Here's my question to you. And you know what I don't like about church? Is we have this family atmosphere, but too many families are a little bit misconstrued where they think that they have to hide their issues because people are going to be mad at them or they're going to judge them. Can I tell you that real family, what they do is when someone has an issue, they rally around them. And you know how I see that manifest? As we get to places like this where we have an opportunity to say, God, I'm sick of looking at you and declaring you're not my provider. So today, I want to stop looking at you. I want to stop saying that you can't provide it. And I want to lay that down. We have that in our heart, but we'll remain in our seats. We'll remain backwards so people don't think we got a big issue. Failing to realize that no one's going to think less of you, but they're going to rally around you and see how they can pick you up. So can we stop being fake family and be real family and allow something to happen in your life and then allow some people to rally around you so you can get picked up? So here's my thing to you. and I'm going to need someone to sing for sure. Here's my thing to you, and you got about 10 minutes to take care of this with Jesus. That's you. You're saying, you know what? I've been going to the wells of the world, and I'm not satisfied, and I'm not fulfilled, and I've been, metaphorically, I've been sleeping around, and I'm with one I'm not supposed to be, but I want to encounter Jesus, and I want a new beginning this morning. If that's you, I want you to boldly get out of your seat and make your way to the front so you can be open and honest with Jesus Christ, the one that paid for it, so he can take that portion of your heart and remove it. I want you to go ahead on the count of three, boldly, to get out of your seat, make your way to the front, and lay those things down in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and watch what he does even this week. You ready? Don't play games, because you can go home the same, but that's on you, because he wants to take care of it. You ready? 3, 2. You know what I see out of with teenagers? It's funny. Sometimes it just takes one person to actually get out of their seat, and there's like a flood behind them. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, don't look at me, please. If I go up there, I can just do it in my seat, right? And it's the same thing, because they're going to think about, no. Boldly get out of your seat. Be the one that unlocks that for the person next to you. Ready? 1. Go ahead and get out of your seat if you're ready for those things to be taken from your life. Amen. Go ahead and clap for the people that are coming. They're starting to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You could have been saved for 20 years and still have something you need from Jesus. You could have been saved for a week and still need something. Don't play games. Don't mess around. This is about true freedom. Go ahead and grab some carpet if you want. If you want prayer, go ahead and put your hands above your head. We'll find you for prayer. We have an amazing prayer team. But what is it? And are you sick of laying it and going to the well? I want to pray over everybody real quick. Before everyone's released, we have a visitor room over on the side. We'd love for you to join us. Lord, I pray that today wasn't just about fancy words, but Lord, I pray it can be about our hearts. I pray that our hearts can be shifted towards you. I pray that we won't find happiness and joy in the wells of the world, but we can be fulfilled by pulling from the wells of salvation. So Lord, I thank you for the sacrifice you made, and I thank you that we're going to walk in it. If you believe it from the back to the front, can I hear a mighty amen? Amen. You're all released. If you want prayer for anything, we're at the front. I'm going to pray for people up here as well. You guys can go ahead and sing whatever you're playing for the next couple minutes. And just go ahead and open up your heart to Jesus if you're up here. And if you still want to come up, go ahead. But go ahead and open up your heart to the Lord. Be open and honest with him. He has everything you need already.